Welcome into a brand new episode of Bottom Line Baseball. I'm Alex Fuse. There's Jackson Ryan. As the season is wrapping up, halfway through September already, a lot of things happening in Major League Baseball. But first off, Jackson, how are we doing on this fantastic Friday morning?
Doing well. Just more interesting games going on in baseball this week. And we've got some interesting series coming up with the Padres and Cardinals. We'll get into the NL wild card as well as the AL wild card. So things are going well.
We'll look at the Royals' new front office structure as well as what Salvador Perez has been able to do that no catcher has been able to do in almost 30 years. Like Jackson said, we'll break down the wild card potential games, what happens if there's some ties throughout the season. If the Blue Jays make the playoffs, who's starting that wild card game potentially, and a lot more. So first off, Jackson, let's look at the divisions quickly. We got the White Sox, 11 games up. They'll be winning the Central. In the American League East, Tampa still has a very sizable 8.5 game lead. They'll win the East. And then in the West, the Houston Astros, they got 7 games over the Oakland A's. They're winning that division. So in the wild card in the American League, Jackson, the Toronto Blue Jays and Boston Red Sox are the two teams as of today that will be facing off in that one game elimination in the postseason. But the Yankees just a half game out and the Oakland A's 3 games out. And I guess we can throw the Mariners in there with 4 games out. Any future predictions? How are we feeling about a Blue Jays Red Sox wild card game as of right now?
Well, I would be feeling good if I was Toronto, the way they've played during the end of this season, as well as, you know, George Springer always gets hot in the postseason. Marcus Semien's had a great year. I saw Kevin Biggio was getting in some playing time at the AAA affiliate, so it'd be interesting to see if he could possibly come back. And if that game's at home, that Toronto stadium will go nuts. Being in Canada, not playing at home, you know, till this season, the Blue Jays have a golden opportunity to play a game at home, and it'll be interesting to see if they were to start Robbie Ray or Hyunjin Ryu or Jose Berrios. So we'll see what happens, but I still feel like New York can be in there because when you have Garrett Cole, that's a win. Garrett Cole is an absolute stud. So we'll see what happens, but I think it's coming down to 3 or 4 teams, and we'll see what happens.
Man, Jackson, you mentioned Marcus Semien, and I just want to highlight him right now. He's hitting .270. He has 39 home runs on the season and 94 ribbies. But what I think the most underrated thing about Marcus Semien this season is his durability, his ability to be at the plate. He's played in 146 games, and he's had 653 plate appearances, which leads the league on both sides of the American League and National League. And he did so back in 2019 with the Oakland A's. He's a free agent after this season, Jackson. Toronto only signed him for a one-year deal. With this whole idea of all the shortstop class for the free agency season, could you see Marcus Semien going back to the Blue Jays, or do you see him possibly going to another team?
Yeah, I could see him going back to Toronto. I mean, with the shortstop-heavy industry starting with Carlos Correa this offseason, which he's going to get paid probably $300 to $400 million. So we'll see what's going on with that. But Marcus Semien could be the biggest difference between Toronto and Oakland. If Oakland had Marcus Semien, they may be in a different situation than they are right now, being 3 games back of the wild card spot. So, you know, at the end of the day, we've seen this with Oakland before with Josh Donaldson and a couple others who have left because they just don't have the money to support them to pay the guys. So we'll see what happens, but I imagine he'll probably stay with Toronto on another one-year deal. He may sign another one-year deal just to get back in free agency after this upcoming season. So we'll see what happens.
The Toronto Blue Jays, I think, are the most interesting team in the American League at the moment. They've been red hot since really the first week of August. The first half of the season, though, they kind of stumbled at times. They looked like a .500 team, sometimes playing below that level. Do you feel like ever since they got back in Toronto, playing at home in front of those fans, do you feel like them being playing in Dunedin, Florida, then they're playing in Buffalo, just that first stretch of the season, but now being back home, it's helped them win the games they've needed to?
Well, I was talking with Craig Biggio, Kevin's father, about them going everywhere, and he said it was tough on the guys. That, you know, when you're not in one situation, you're moving from Buffalo to Florida, back to Buffalo, then to Toronto. It's been tough on the whole Blue Jay organization, but they just seem resilient, and it seems like they're going to be in that wild card game for me. I think it's coming down at the end of this for Boston and New York to determine the second wild card spot. But we'll see at the end of the day what happens, like I've said. But you know what? This is good for the game of baseball. We talk about the game of baseball as a whole and how we need to grow the game of baseball, and having these close games, having series that are going to be determining late in September can only help grow the game of baseball.
The Red Sox, that team right now that would be playing the Blue Jays, and the Yankees are looking from the outside right now at the moment. Do you see the Yankees making the name for themselves to try to get back and to fight their way back into this wild card game?
Yeah, I do. Like I said earlier, when you have Gerrit Cole, you're going to do really well, especially in a one-game playoff. But I'm just shocked that the Yankees aren't doing better as a whole. When you go out and get guys like Joey Gallo and Anthony Rizzo, you expect to win a division. You don't expect just to make the postseason. In New York, it's not good enough just to be in the postseason or to fight for a postseason spot. So Joey Gallo has been very disappointing for them, only hitting probably about 150, 140. As a whole, you know, home runs are great, but at the end of the day, home runs don't win you ball games in the postseason. So you got to have dominant starting pitching. And you have to put the ball in place. So we'll see, you know, what the Yankees can do, but they've got to be able to put the ball in play more than just hitting home runs, because with Judge, Stanton, and Gallo, you're going to have a bunch of strikeouts.
Mm-hmm. But you bring up a great point, and this is a disappointing season for the Yankees. And you look at their lineup, you look at their rotation when healthy. The lineup, though, is the most interesting aspect of this Yankee team. The offense always typically picks up the team and to get the big wins. And what Giancarlo Stanton and Aaron Judge have been able to do this year is truly incredible. Stay healthy and really hit to the back of their baseball card. But the Yankees have been unable to win the ball games they've needed to, especially this part of the season. They've had great winning streaks, but they've also had bad losing streaks at the same time, Jackson. And this Yankee team, I think before the trade deadline, didn't deserve to make the postseason. There's always those teams that, you know, okay, you look at the Dodgers, you look at what they've been able to do and how they've been able to grind and fight their way to a playoff spot, they deserve to be in the playoffs. You look at the Toronto Blue Jays, the way they've been playing lately, they deserve to be in the postseason. Obviously, the Rays, the White Sox, and the Astros all deserve to be in the postseason, just the caliber of play that they've been able to put on the field every single night and play consistent baseball. The Yankees haven't been that team. Should be interesting, though, to see what happens with them. Aaron Judge wants to be in the postseason. He's been carrying this team over the last few weeks. So will the Yankees be able to fight their way back? I know they got a series against the Red Sox and the Blue Jays and the Rays before the season ends. No one, I don't think, outside of the Rays will be winning the East. But the Rays can play spoiler, though. They'll have a three-game series to end the regular season. And if the Rays don't want to have to face the Yankees again in the postseason, well, then maybe they can put them away then.
Well, and I'll bring up this, too. You can't be losing to the Baltimore Orioles. You've got to sweep the Baltimore Orioles. Last night when they lose 3-2 and you lose in walk-off fashion, that only hurts. And they have Cleveland coming up, so they should be able to take care of business versus Cleveland. But winning 2 or 3 is not good enough right now in September, and you've got to sweep series.
Mm-hmm. I agree 100%. So in the National League, we'll switch gears. Atlanta, Milwaukee, and San Francisco. Well, San Francisco already clinched a playoff spot. Out of those teams, the Braves, they got a 3-game advantage over the Phillies. The Brewers have a 12.5 game lead. No one's kicking the Brewers out of that division. And then both the Giants and Dodgers have already clinched a postseason spot. We're still determining, though, who will be the division winner and who will be the wild card winner. We probably won't know that until the very end of the season by just how well the Giants and Dodgers have been able to play consistent baseball all season long. So, Jackson, as of right now, the Braves, Brewers, and Giants are all the division winners. Which team has surprised you most out of those three?
San Francisco, by far. I thought it was going to be L.A. and San Diego. San Francisco has obviously done a great job with Gabe Kapler coming in and taking over, and has done a great job to run that organization well and back to where they want to be. But they don't have complete studs like the Dodgers do. They don't have the Scherzers, the Kershaws, the, you know, Bauer's not there anymore. But, you know, they don't have those type of pitchers. And so for them to be winning the division is a lot of credit to them, as well as Milwaukee. I really like what Milwaukee did getting Willy Adames from Tampa Bay. He's performed really well for them. And they're setting themselves up good to be in the NLCS against either San Francisco or LA. Because if they play Atlanta or Philadelphia, I will take Milwaukee in a 3-0 sweep. I feel very confident with what the Brewers have done so far.
What's so surprising to me is the Dodgers, right? 94-53, one game out of first place in the National League West. People had the Dodgers winning, if not or more, 115 games to start the season. They've definitely said that we are a good team. Last year wasn't a fluke. Does their success in the postseason, though, potentially – well, no, they clinched, so they will be in the postseason. Does their success in this postseason, Jackson, affect on their play in last year when they won the World Series?
I think experience can help, and you gain knowledge from, you know, past performances, for instance. And, you know, Scherzer's a world champ as well with the Nationals in 2019, so he's been there and done it, and Kershaw's gotten over the top. But the Dodgers just have to find a way to win that division. I don't want – you never know what can happen, like we were talking about earlier, in a one-game playoff, either against probably St. Louis, San Diego, or Cincinnati. So you don't want to be in that one-game playoff. But if the Dodgers are in that one-game playoff, I'll flip it over back to you, Alex. Who would you start in that one-game playoff if you were the Dodgers?
I would have to think either Scherzer or Buehler. I think the reason why the Dodgers got Max Scherzer is – in case they did have to play in this one-game wild card elimination game, right? Max Scherzer is the bulldog. That's why they went out and got him from the Nationals and gave up those prospects. I think Max Scherzer, you want to start on the mound because then you can go Buehler, Kershaw in that the next series. So I think Max Scherzer makes the most sense because just how he's been able to perform since he's been on the team. I mean, I don't think he has an ERA over one right now. I think the last time I looked, since he's been with the Dodgers, it's like a 0.86 ERA, which is Max Scherzer level, right? Then, again, if you start Buehler or if you start Kershaw, where things can kind of get away from you, if you put Scherzer, you're feeling pretty confident you're going to win that night. You got to – every game is almost elimination game in the postseason, right? You got to win every single night. And can't worry about tomorrow because you might not be there tomorrow, especially in a wild card game.
And then before that, coming up to the wild card game, you're also looking at scoreboards in the outfield. Don't think that the players are not looking to see what the Giants have done, to see what the Dodgers have done in that instance. But I also want to talk about in a wild card game, we've got San Diego and St. Louis playing a three-game series. How important is this three-game series, do you think, Alex, in determining who gets that second wild card spot?
I think it could be everything, honestly. I think just with less than 3 weeks left of the season, I think we're at 2.5, I think maybe 15 games left of the season for most teams. That's not a lot of games, right? We're in the final stretch of the 162-game season. The first 162-game season since 2019, I think teams are gassed in some senses where they're looking forward to just getting to the postseason. And looking forward to some teams that are already eliminated, to looking forward to the offseason to get back and ready to come out and compete again next year. 162 games is a lot of games. It's a long season. And for some teams that are coming down to the wire, they're going to have to dig deep and figure out which team they are and how hard they can compete at the final stretch here. But like you said, this three-game series can determine a lot. I'm looking at the wild card standings. The Padres only half game out in the National League, just like where the Yankees are. Cincinnati also only one game out. And then you got the Phillies 2.5 games out. So still some teams that, again, in 15 games in a wild card, things can move. You go on a three-game losing streak, someone hops you and gets right into the postseason play. St. Louis is a team that's so interesting, right? You go out and get Nolan Arenado, you make the big deals, you look at Wainwright and Molina behind the plate, and just that team is interesting because at the deadline, they were about a 500 team. So now them potentially being a wild card team is interesting to me. How complete are they in comparison to the Dodgers, the Reds, or the Phillies? I'm not too sure. So what do you think? Who would you feel most confident in playing either the Dodgers or the Giants in a wild card game?
I don't really know to have a complete answer for you there, because I don't feel confident in anybody. The Mets have had Mets are only 5 games out, and they had a couple heartbreaks against the Cardinals this past couple of days. So I really feel like it's the Dodgers or Giants who are going to win that division, but or win the sorry the wild card. But I also think that the winner between San Diego and St. Louis will probably be in the wild card game. If you're St. Louis, I guess you could start Michaelis, if not Wainwright, if you wanted to in a one-game playoff. But what's interesting tonight is you've got Velasquez versus Michaelis. And the Padres just picked up Vince Velasquez, who was with the Phillies and the Astros before that. So tough situation for Vince Velasquez to come into.
So if the Padres miss the postseason, how big of a disappointment is that to this franchise?
I think a huge disappointment. They do not have the minor league system that they had, say, 2 years ago because of all the trades they made and the people that have come up from their system. They have C.J. Abrams, but other than that, nothing else really coming up the farm system at a higher level, double A, triple A. I feel like they're one of the more disappointing teams, like I said last episode, in the MLB this year just because of all the expectations. You go out and get Blake Snell, Yu Darvish. You get a couple others to – go with Fernando Tatis Jr., to go with Machado, to go with Hosmer, and you're expected to win, and you're expected to win at a high level. And so for the Padres, I don't know where you go to this offseason to get more people because you don't have it in the farm system.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree. Completely agree. So with just 15 games left of the season, one team, though, is making the headlines in different ways, the Kansas City Royals. They've restructured their front office. Now the president of baseball operations is Dayton Moore, and the new general manager in Kansas City is J.J. Piccolo. Both have been with the organization for close to 15 years now. And then also one player on the field, Salvador Perez. What a season Salvador Perez has had. I think if it wasn't for Ohtani or potentially Vladimir Guerrero Jr., Salvador Perez could have been in contention for the MVP award. He is the first catcher since Johnny Bench to hit 45 home runs in a season. And what he's been able to do is simply incredible. This article written by Ann Rogers, a great reporter for the Royals, she said Salvador Perez's goal this season was to hit 30 home runs. He's never gotten above 27 in a season in his career. And he thought the offseason goal 30 was a reasonable goal, and now he's hit 45 home runs. With 15 games left, 50's not out of the stretch, right? I think Perez, if anyone, he can do it. How special is Salvador Perez in baseball, but more importantly for the Royals organization?
Well, he means everything to the Royals organization. He was there, part of their culture at the beginning. They're one of the best run organizations in all of baseball, from Dayton Moore to J.J. Piccolo, everybody down. From Mr. Sherman as well coming in. But for the Royals, I want to talk about as well from an MVP standpoint is that he's in Kansas City. Whether you like it or not, if he was in New York, LA, Chicago, Miami, you know, wherever, a bigger market, he would be considered for the MVP. But since he's in a smaller market, nobody is watching, and since they're not winning at the clip that they need to be winning at, that hurts his MVP chances. But Salvador Perez means everything to the Kansas City Royals organization. Being able to know some of their people with Pedro Grifol and, you know, a couple others, he means everything, like I've said. And he's that glue, that piece that has been there since the beginning times when that organization was getting started. But also from the Royals in winning, obviously they could get the 70, 75 wins this year. That'd be big for them because next year you could see Bobby Witt Jr., you could see Nick Prado, you could see, you know, Kyle Isbell being up all year, and then they go get a couple other guys. They could be in that division because that division is tough. You got Detroit, who's up and coming with AJ Hinch doing a great job over there, and you got the White Sox, and you've got a couple others. So it's going to be a tough division coming up, and be interesting to see this offseason what Kansas City does to help Salvador Perez and their organization.
No doubt. This Royals team, I know I said earlier this season that they were going to be competitive. They've had their moments where you could see the true potential in the future of the organization. I can't wait to see what this team does over the offseason, but more importantly, next season, to where they can really compete and to show their true potential in a very young but competitive American League Central. I think the American League East will always have a different edge because you got the Yankees, you got the Red Sox, you got the Tampa Bay Rays and what they've been able to do, which has been incredible to see. And then you got the Blue Jays on the rise. But then you look at that Central Division, right? The White Sox are right there with the incredible talent that they have. So there's so many great, exciting things happening in baseball almost every single day, Jackson. So to wrap up, what are you looking forward to most here as a season? We're only, like I said, about 2.5 weeks away from the postseason. What can fans look forward to most before the season wraps up?
The two wild card and what's going to happen there. Really, if you're a true baseball fan, you will be watching the Padres and Cardinals series, and then you'll be keeping up with San Francisco, L.A., to see who gets that wild card spot. L.A. is playing Cincinnati, and when you got Walker Buehler and Luis Castillo going tonight in Cincinnati, that would be a good one. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the day, just enjoying the game and being around it is something it's hard to explain to non-baseball people, but baseball is America's pastime for a reason, and it's not like the other sports.
Yep, I completely agree. Completely agree, Jackson. Well, that concludes today's episode of Bottom Line Baseball. Once again, you can follow us on social media throughout the rest of the week and weekend. We'll be back with you next week to break down if there has been any changes in the wild card and any news that's happened in baseball. But for Jackson, I'm Alex Fuse. Have a great rest of your Friday and have a great weekend. We'll see you next week.